Let's be still as we prepare to worship God. From the Psalmist. Our Lord and our God, I turn my eyes to you. On your throne in heaven, servants look to their master, but we will look to you until you have mercy on us. We join together to sing, I lift my eyes to the quiet hills. Heavenly Mother, Father, Heavenly Ruler, we come before you today just as we are. We come to listen and we come to learn. We come to lay down everything and to be in your awesome presence. For you are God who is all sufficient, and we acknowledge your presence and we worship you. Lord Jesus Christ, holy and anointed one, you laid down your life that we might live. We welcome your authority and influence in our lives, Holy Spirit. We adore you, Lord of all. Creator, Son, and Spirit, you are worthy of all our praise. But as we bow before you, O God, we confess that often we have let you down. We have turned away from you and gone our own way. We have become consumed with material things and allowed them to dominate our lives and to occupy every available space in our minds. We are sorry and we lay everything at your feet. We are sorry that we overcomplicate everything. Help us to learn how to be still and know that you are God. Help us to seek simplicity, to slow down and not to hurry, to require nothing more than that which you give. Jesus Christ, who died and rose again, that we might be released from all the worldly worries that weigh us down. Help us to receive your forgiveness, that our chains would be gone and that we would be free to serve you. All praise to you, our God, at this time and into the future. Lord, we pray. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So I've seen Sally walking around the building with a whole pile of kit. Are you coming here to do this?
No internet.
All right, okay, so she's... All right, I'm shuffling.
Hello. I'm struggling with my internet and I've tried three different rooms and I'm determined to do this talk. So I'm booting Leslie out of her chair. Sorry, Leslie. Right. Hello. Thinking about journeys today, and I've brought my glorious summer hat. So do you think it suits me? Yeah, thumbs up and people are nodding. And I've also bought, just in case anything goes wrong, a first aid kit. Because, you know, you never know. I've bought my energy sweets to give them some energy. I bought my sat nav, very important for me. I remember the day when my dad begged me to get a sat nav because I was just getting so stressed about navigating my way. I've brought my water bottle. I've brought my walking boots, which are very mucky because I went for a long walk on Friday and they're still, I haven't cleaned them yet. So I won't put them on Leslie's papers, put them down there. I brought my torch. I've brought gloves, just in case it's a bit chilly. And I brought, because I work for a church, obviously, couldn't not bring my Bible. I'm wondering which of those things, which three things, shall we say, are the most important and why? Have a think about that for a moment. Which would be your three most important things and why? I realise I've forgotten my sun cream, which is also very important. So maybe add that into the list as well. And if you want to unmute yourself and just say which of those things you think are important and why, then please do that. Which would be most important? The boots, the first aid kit, the sat nav, the energy sweets, the torch, the water bottle, the Bible. What do you think?
first thing?
It's a tricky one. I think water might be very important.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would have to have the Bible, because I think you need food for the mind. And anything could happen to you on this journey. You might even be imprisoned for a while. And that, to me, would be a way of helping to survive.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So the mind as well as the body is important. And actually, at the 11:30 service, we're thinking about people who've gone on very risky journeys, people in other countries who are persecuted for their faith. And you're right. For them, the word of God, maybe not in an actual Bible, but in their head, because they've learned it, has been the key to surviving mentally and emotionally and spiritually, if not physically. So that's an important point. Yeah. Christine Thompson says to Nick, Leslie, I don't know how to get chat on your... Does it come up, the chat function? Don't know. Christine Thompson said something there, and I don't know how to... Water... Boots, water, and plasters, so that I can keep moving. Yeah. Oh, no. Kathy Seymour, boots, water, and plasters so that I can keep moving. Boots, water bottle, and energy sweets for Christine Thompson. Yeah. Martin says today's... Oh, sorry. Martin's made a comment about the music played by Ruth and Sojin. I thought that was about the talk. Yeah. Anyone else?
I think you forgot an umbrella in this country. That's very important.
Yeah, an umbrella or an anorak or something like that. Yeah. And Rosette says boots, water, Bible. Okay. Okay, so today in the Bible readings, we're talking about risk and we're talking about going on a journey and the advice that Jesus is giving about what the disciples should take with them. And at the 11:30 service, we're going to be thinking about things that we need to take with us, which are not material items. So we're going to be thinking about characteristics, character traits and so on that we'll need to get through this journey that we call life. And it's worth thinking what our priorities are. And definitely, as you say, where does God's word and the life of faith fit in with that? How can that help us as much as all the material things that in this country we're so fortunate to have? I'm going to let Leslie have her seat back now. I might carry on wearing my hat though, because I quite like it. And I shall see you later. All my things, Leslie. Oh dear.
No, just leave it. No,
just leave it. Okay.
So we have two readings today. The first is from the prophet Ezekiel. The calling of Ezekiel to be a prophet is a familiar pattern. Jeremiah, Amos, Isaiah all begin their books with speaking about the rebelliousness and the self-deception of God's people. And then God's call for them to stand firm, even if the consequences to the prophet are dangerous. And then in Mark's gospel, the passage in Mark shows two examples of how misleading status can be and how it can deafen us to God's voice. The Ezekiel reading will be read to us by Liz Cook and the Mark reading by Teresa James.
Ezekiel, reading from the New International Version, Ezekiel chapter 2. He said to me, "Son of man, stand up on your on your feet, and I will speak to you." As he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. He said, Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have been in revolt against me to this very day. The people to whom I am sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. And whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. Amen.
Amen. And our second reading is from Mark, chapter 6, verses 1 to 13. Jesus left that place and went back to his hometown, followed by his disciples. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue. Many people were there, and when they heard him, they were all amazed. Where did he get all this? They asked. What wisdom is this that has been given him? How does he perform miracles? Isn't he the carpenter's son, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters living here? And so they rejected him. Jesus said to them, prophets are respected everywhere, except in their own hometown and by their relatives and their family. He was not able to perform any miracles there, except that he placed his hands on a few sick people and healed them. He was greatly surprised because the people did not have faith. Then Jesus went to the villages around there, teaching the people. He called the 12 disciples together and sent them out two by two. He gave them authority over the evil spirits and ordered them, don't take anything with you on the trip except a walking stick. No bread, no beggar's bag, no money in your pockets. Wear sandals, but don't carry an extra shirt. He also told them, wherever you are welcome, stay in the same house until you leave that place. If you come to a town where people do not welcome you or will not listen to you, leave it and shake the dust off your feet. That will be a warning to them. So they went out and preached that people should turn away from their sins. They drove out many demons and rubbed olive oil on many sick people and healed them.
On to 13, please read them, come back in. My name is Leslie Charlton. I'm one of the ministers of Kingston United Reformed Church. And in this time, if we can support you, get to know you, please get in touch. We have a Zoom service every Sunday at 10, and we're in the building at 11:30, and we're in the building again at 5:00. You'd be most welcome. It is a tough truth, but the job of a person of God is to do what God requires, regardless of the reception of it. It's not to expect that people will agree, nor that the crowds will flock. Hey, can't you think of anything better to be doing on a Sunday morning? There's parties to be go to. There's fun to be had, or there's money to be made. Get working. No, to have a day that is a rest day. The readings are both about people playing to a tough crowd. One of the people is Jesus, the other is the prophet Ezekiel. The book of the prophet Ezekiel is not an easy read, and in chapter 2, Only in chapter 2 you get the sense that the prophet is exhausted. He's so worn out that he can't get on his feet, even though it is God who's telling him to get up. The only way that he can get up is when the Spirit comes into him and moves him to stand up. Ezekiel is weak and needs God to accomplish what he has to do as a prophet. He does not do what he does in his own strength. He does it through the strength of God. Ezekiel is sent to the people of Israel so that they would know something about the Holy God. God charges the people that they have been hard of face and tough of heart. They have been rebels for generations. Being a prophet is not about soothsaying, telling the future. It is about telling the truth. Something that burns in the prophet until the prophet has to speak it out. The prophet could keep their mouth shut, but actually that would be to suppress this truth. I presume that most people know that Quakers, when they gather to worship, they worship in silence and they speak as the Spirit gives them words. Can you improve the silence? It's the criterion. So evidently you're sitting there and the Spirit nudges you and you think, no, I can't say anything. And then the Spirit nudges you again and you say, no, I can't. And then the third time when the Spirit nudges you, you speak out what you have the sense needs to be said. And at that point, afterwards, somebody comes up to you and says, thank you very much. That was just what I needed to hear. To speak is the giving of a gift. In a culture like ours that is flooded with words, that can sound like nonsense. I haven't got a problem with nonsense, but it's not a good basic diet. A gift is given. It is lovely. It is generous. It is wrapped beautifully, and the recipient says, why have you given me this? What is in it for you? What do you want in return? To receive is very difficult for some, even to receive from God. For the people of Nazareth, it proved a challenge. Where does this man get all this from? After all, we know his family. We can name his brothers, sisters. Yeah, he's got sisters, don't know their names. He's the son of Mary and the carpenter. Grudging prejudice. And of course, the worst thing about this prejudice is that it stops them from hearing, stops them from receiving. In a patriarchal society like Israel in the time of Jesus, it is not sloppiness that the writer of the Gospel according to Mark misses out the name of Jesus' father. The carpenter is the designation. There is no pedigree about who Jesus is. And Mark keeps it, whereas Matthew and Luke neaten it up. For the first time in Mark's story, Jesus is in his hometown, in his regular synagogue. His successful activities in neighbouring synagogues like Capernaum would have led the people to expect positive results in Nazareth as well. But the positive results do not continue there. And Jesus is amazed at the people's reaction. The crowd are amazed at his teaching, but amazement immediately is turned into a negative as the crowd ask a series of questions that they know the answer to about Jesus' origin. They know about his family. This information is a direct insult into who Jesus is. It's about an undermining of his honour. In the first century, they are hinting at one who was conceived illegitimately. this type of history, this fatherless lineage, would have been scandalous to them. But Jesus names himself not through an earthly father, but through the call of God upon him as a prophet. But even that is full of traps. In an honour-shame society, there's only so much honour to be going round. And if you are a prophet, then you are due honour. But if you have more honour, then that means that somebody else is diminished, and that would threaten them and trigger attempts to bring you down and cut you down to size. And that is part of what is going on here. The good news in our times is that however society works, for Christian people, all can be held in honour. All are held in honour. For me to be important, you do not have to be less so. Even more, Christians are instructed that we have to hear from children. That doesn't mean literally the young, though it might include them. It's to say that God can speak through those who are immature in matters of faith and in matters of life as well as those who are mature. And this model of teacher as receiver is straight away employed by Jesus in the sending out of the 12. They are to go to towns and villages telling the good news, and they go without even the meagerest of rations. They are making themselves vulnerable and without the armour of wealth or equipment. This is open-handed mission, and the first open hand is to receive hospitality. If they receive, it means they are to be invited into the heart of a community and able to hear about how things are for those who entertain them. Of course, this is not a culture with hotels and restaurants. And if you travelled, you were expecting to receive from others, as you would be expected to provide for them. These are hot, dangerous places, and people needed to look after each other. But we know it's a different experience to go to a place and meet local folks as opposed to hang around with other tourists. The bar that is up a back alley where you hang out with locals and somebody gives you some food, it's a very different experience from the place in all its luxury where somebody provides you with a meal because it's their job. What are we missing when we refuse to receive? If God is God, then God is with all people, whether they know that or not. And it could well be that those people who are very unlikely have got truth to tell us. Yes, the words are unfamiliar and the packaging looks different to how we would offer our truth, but the gift is ours to receive or to reject. Why do we insist that we know all and have all? Too many of us have been brought up in a culture where the narrative is we must be independent and we must be self-reliant. And it isn't true, and it never was true. We need people in Machu Picchu to grow their coffee. We need people in factories in China to make our products. We need people in front rooms in Bolton who are experimenting with new ideas and things that we can't wait to taste and to use. We are linked. We are dependent. There is an attitude of openness to receive rather than an arrogance of thinking our only job is to share our bounty with others. And my experience, sisters and brothers, is that the sooner we learn to receive, the happier our old age is going to be. the happier our lives are going to be. To be people who are sensitized to our truths by spending time in the Word and spending time praying, and then to go into society expecting that God will speak to us. Sometimes, like the prophet Ezekiel, through people designated to be delivering God's messages, but more regularly from encounters with somebody who comes into our town, comes into our lives, and they share the story, like Mark. Unlikely people with a truth to tell and something to share. And for us to be open-handed and tender-hearted enough to receive. How different would it have been if the people of Nazareth had said, "Oh yes, Jesus, he had an unfortunate start to life. I wonder what he's got to say." And then they shut up and they listened. And because they were rooted in their truths, they could have recognised that God was at work. Amen.
Finish now.
So let us pray. Let us pray for the leaders of the world. That they would use their power wisely. And seek to solve problems collaboratively. And not retreat into strongholds of heart and mind. Let's pray for our national and community leaders. That they would be people seeking to serve all, not just their segment of society. And that they would not ignore the demands of compassion and justice. Let's pray for church leaders. That they will be strengthened to boast in Christ alone and to avoid the tricks and the tips of manipulation and not be overwhelmed by the wounds that they bear, especially in this season where so many are carrying so much. Let's pray for our world that we would hear the prophet in our midst. and pray for our church, the United Reformed Church, as it moves towards the General Assembly, that prophets would speak and be discerned, and that voices of truth, however unlikely, would not be silenced. Let us pray for ourselves that we would be able to receive from others. And to know that we are not diminished by needing other people to help us. Let us pray for those people whose pictures we have seen, whose stories we have heard, those that we know and love. Lord, may we dare to lead by example and not to draw back from the risks of following Christ. And we pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Next Sunday, we will have a service at 10:30, which will be the 11:30 gang will be at 10:30 in the building, and then it will be, for those who are on Zoom, it will be at 10:30 on Zoom. And that will be followed by a church meeting. And then after the church meeting, we invite you to get yourself a cup of tea, and we will watch together the piece of comedic input that was produced for the Synod area meeting. So that's just funny, just great. Stay if you can, it'll be good. Church news is out now. I hope you've all got it. Thanks to Carol for producing it. One piece of information that was meant to be included and wasn't, we apologise to Steve and Christine Wise for that omission, and it will be sent out on the notices, for they need help to update the church handbook. And please could you send in your information, that will be sent to you for a few weeks. Please could you tell us how we can communicate with you and reflect on the church handbook with them. Thank you. As regards regular events, to say that the soiree is not happening for the rest of July. We'll let you know about that. Thanks. I've got a number of things here that are just absolutely amazing bits of news. Thanks to the generous donation of individual church members, we are about to purchase a new digital organ for the church, if it sounds okay. Is the response. Fantastic. There's going to be some mini recitals so that we can make sure that it sounds okay, because we're not buying it. The people that are buying it are not buying it unless it sounds okay. So that'll be throughout July. The first one is on Tuesday, the 13th of July at 6:30, when Keith Harrington from the firm who are installing it will give a talk and a demonstration. If you want a seat, please, would you book one? That will be, and it will be recorded so that you can hear it on the recording, and the details of other recitals will be announced as soon as we have them. All these details, of course, I'm sending out to you. There has been, as you know, we are on the edge of a major famine in the world, and Christian Aid have asked us to contribute towards that. Again, I'll be sending out details about that appeal. And also, Young Climate Coalition Network are moving around through the country, and we are asked to support them. That happens at the beginning of August. If you can help them in their relay walk that's passing through London, if you can help them, that would be great. We're having 24 hours of prayer as we move from this season into whatever the next season is. That will be on the 23rd of July. We would like from everybody, one, would you be prepared to host an hour? I can't call it lead an hour, but host an hour. Second thing, have you got any things that you think we should be praying about? Have you got any things that you think we should be giving thanks for? So it goes from Friday morning at 6 o'clock right the way through to Saturday morning at 6 o'clock. Once we're, as we're moving through, we've decided that we're going to have a day in October for us to gather with the expectation that we will be able to, and it will be Kingston United Reformed Church's big day in or out. So it will be, parts of it will be on Zoom because we're not all in the same place, but the invitation is for people to come together, time just to play, to eat, to listen, to listen to some music. Maybe even we'll be allowed to sing and dance by that time. So put the date of the Saturday, the 2nd of October, in your diary. And then could you think to yourself, what could you contribute? The idea is that everybody contributes for an hour. So could you teach us a dance? Could you organise some food? Could you bake a cake? Let your imagination go. Could you play an instrument? Whatever it is. Could you sit down in a corner and play cards with some people? Yeah. There'll be a whole range of stuff. Let us know. On the subject of Christian Aid, as you know, we're coming, the numbers are now in for Christian Aid Week in Kingston, and it's been an amazing time again. Thanks to the Christian Aid Committee, to Ray Charlton and the rest of the workers, Carol as the new treasurer, to say that the grand total this year is, drum roll please, £22,000. Amazing, isn't that amazing? It's just incredible, fantastic. It's great, well done.
Thank you all, thank you.
Oh, any excuse to get that backing out, isn't it? Sling your hook. Right, here we go. Thanks. No. Put my dog collar on. Thanks to you, Mr. Charlton. Okay. This week, Sally Butler is celebrating a very special birthday. Friday the 9th. Happy birthday, Sally. Happy birthday. Have a lovely day. Yay. And please, can you remember to pray for those people who are on our regular prayer list, those who are battling with cancer, those who are getting used to different circumstances at home, and those people for whom the last 18 months have been particularly difficult. And as you know, the work of the church goes on, which means it costs money, which means that we need you to be responsible and wise in your stewardship of your financial resources. And so if we can help you in terms of transporting checks or teaching you how to use the internet in a safe way for the giving of money, please ask and we will make it happen. I will now move on to dedicate. Have you noticed how I haven't mentioned football? I will now move on to dedicate the offering. I'm sorry. So I'll now dedicate the offering. So let us pray. God, the giver of wealth, the wealth of resources and relationships, of talents and time, the wealth of life itself. We squander and devalue your gifts, assuming ownership rather than practicing stewardship, knowing cost, ignoring value. Receive the gift that we bring. We give thanks for your ceaseless abundance. Stir up in us a resolve to live generously and not wastefully. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, the money that we bring, the money that we keep for ourselves, and bread and wine, symbols of your sustenance of us. Thank you. Amen. Let us celebrate this joyful feast. People will come from the east and the west, from north and south, to sit at the table in the kingdom of God. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Anyone who comes to me, I will never turn away." And hear the narrative of the institution of the Lord's Supper as it was recorded by St. Paul. "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" So in the name of the Lord Jesus, we take bread and we take wine. And as he offered prayers of thanks, so we offer our prayers of thanksgiving. Let us pray. O God, all-sufficient one, we give you thanks and praise that you are all we need. You are enough. Thank you that you love us so much and provide everything we need for the journey of life. You didn't promise that following you would be easy, but we thank you that you care about us as you do the birds of the sky and the lilies of the field. You know our every need. Thank you that your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, your ways are higher than our ways. And thank you that when we come to you empty, your arms reach out to embrace us. We give you thanks and praise, Creator, Saviour, Giver of life. From the beginning, you have made yourself known. We give you thanks for Jesus, how he sought out the unloved and the lost and welcomed all who came to him. We thank you that though he was rejected, he endured grief and sorrow and gave himself on the cross. By your power, Lord our God, he was raised to life. And by the gift of the Holy Spirit, everything in earth and heaven is reconciled to you. Come, Creator God, renew the face of the earth. Come, Eternal Saviour, remake us in your likeness. Come, Holy Spirit, transform these gifts, that Christ may be known to us in the breaking of bread, that we may be strengthened to serve him in the world. May we on earth be one with all Christ's people, and when all things are complete, be raised up to be with him. To be in that homeland where he reigns in glory with you, Creator and the Holy Spirit, one God, for now, forever. Amen. He took bread, blessed it, broke it. He took wine, poured out. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. The body of Christ. The blood of Christ. So let us pray. Lord, how would we respond if you sent us out as your disciples to spread your gospel without food or money, with no changes of clothes, separated from family and friends? Few of us would feel equipped for such a challenge. We would rebel. We're too old, we're too young, we have responsibilities. Lord, help us to take baby steps, to break free from the bonds of routine and shyness, fear, and our need to know everything and be all powerful. Let us talk without embarrassment of our faith and serve others in your name. And grant us the grace to recognize when our words fall on stony ground and step back, hoping that a seed has been sown. And give to us, Lord our God, stamina and sensitivity to nurture shoots of fresh understanding and desire for knowledge wherever we find them. And thank you for times like this and meeting at your table that nurtures and sustains us for the way ahead. Thank you, Lord, we pray. Amen. So after our final hymn and the benediction, there'll be a time to have a chat with some people in breakout rooms. Please stay if you can. Our final hymn is "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is." So thank you to the musicians, for those who, for Sojin and for Ruth, who played in advance of the service. The person that played for our hymns today is Ha-un, who's our new organist, just on our way from Korea. And the good news is that the hurdle with the visa has been overcome, and her problem now is waiting for a flight. Can you believe it? Because all the flights are booked. Well, when staying in bed is does God. As we struggle with our weaknesses, the body that we've got, the one that we wish we had, show us what we're really worth in vigor and in frailty, and give us a true sense of power and a life full of grace to live to your praise and glory. And the blessing of God the Almighty, the Creator, the Son, and the Spirit be with us and those who we love, for now, forever. Amen.